Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock on Friday, the 1st of November. Coming up over the next hour, we're looking ahead to all of the Premier League action coming up this weekend. It starts on the South Coast, Bournemouth against Manchester United, and it ends on Merseyside as Everton take on Tottenham. Our focus this afternoon will be on Crystal Palace, Arsenal, and maybe a little bit of Manchester United as well. We'll be giving our predictions as well for the weekend. Obviously, neither Laurie nor Charlie are here, but they have sent me their predictions, so we'll be going through those very, very shortly. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We want to hear from you this afternoon. So, plenty to look forward to. It's a Friday, so always a great show to look forward to. And I hope you enjoy the next hour as we look ahead to all of the Premier League action over the weekend. Also, shout out to my mum, because it is her birthday today, so happy birthday, mum. Anyway, looking ahead to the Premier League weekend, obviously 10 fixtures to look forward to tomorrow and on Sunday. Also, a game that's happening in Japan tomorrow that we might cover. It's called the Rugby World Cup Final, so we might cover that over the next couple of hours. If you want to get in touch with us, that number again, call us on 0208 7020 558. So, the weekend starts down on the South Coast. Bournemouth take on Manchester United. United had gone through a horrendous away run under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He had a very good away form before he got the job permanently, but ever since he took it permanently, it was 11 games without a win. But they have got a few wins in recent weeks away from home, away at Partizan Belgrade in the Europa League, away at Chelsea in the League Cup, and away at Norwich in the Premier League. Manchester United therefore travelling down to the South Coast. We'll go through our predictions in just a few moments' time. Arsenal take on Wolves in the first of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. That's at the Emirates Stadium. Obviously, Arsenal were one half of that enthralling game at Anfield that ended 5-5 between Liverpool and Arsenal in the League Cup. The Liverpool won 5-4 on penalties. They host Wolves, who lost to Aston Villa in the week. And therefore were denied a place in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. The other two teams in those two ties, Aston Villa host Liverpool at Villa Park tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Jurgen Klopp has held his press conference this afternoon, obviously talking about the fixture congestion, about the uncertainty as to when their quarterfinal tie away at Aston Villa, coincidentally, will be played. It should be played in the middle of December, but obviously Liverpool are at the Club World Cup in Qatar, so still uncertainty over that. So Aston Villa take on Liverpool, that's at Villa Park. Brighton take on Norwich. Norwich gone through a bad run of recent times since beating Manchester City. It's been a pretty poor run of recent times. Talking of Manchester City, they host Southampton for the second time in just a matter of days after they won 3-1 in the League Cup earlier in the week. They host them again tomorrow afternoon. Sheffield United take on Burnley at Bramall Lane. West Ham are at home against Newcastle. Could Andy Carroll make a substitute appearance potentially against, obviously, his former club? 5:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Watford, winless Watford at Vicarage Road against Chelsea. Can Watford secure their first league victory of the season, or will Chelsea get the win? And then on to Sunday, we have two games on Super Sunday. Crystal Palace host Leicester at Selhurst Park. And then Everton take on Tottenham to round off the weekend at Goodison Park. So obviously, usually, we do the Premier League predictions at the end of this Premier League fan show on a Friday, but as neither Laurie nor Charlie are here today, we'll go through them now as we look through all of the games. They've sent me their predictions, very, very keen to make sure they don't miss out on the predictions. It gets very, very competitive. And Charlie, if you obviously listen to the Premier League fan show often enough, will know that he started quite a bit later, but his aim is to overtake, quite ambitious, overtake Laurie by Christmas. So a lot riding on it and a lot of competition amongst us to win the Premier League predictions. Just to put into a bit of context as to where we are at this moment in time, myself, Laurie and I started in the second game week of the season. Charlie started 5 weeks later. I'm currently on 65, top of the table. Laurie's on 43 and Charlie's on 31. How it works, we predict all 10 Premier League fixtures on the weekend. 1 point for a right result, 3 points for a direct scoreline, and we'll also predict a random game. It could be Stirling Albion against Strasby Thistle. It could be an Austrian League fixture. It could be the fifth division in Mongolia. Who knows? We'll randomly pick it, and we will randomly choose our predictions for those. So let's go through the weekend's fixtures. So Bournemouth against Manchester United. I think it's going to be a tough game for United. I think people thinking they're turning things around and their away form is back up to scratch, but it's going to come back down to earth with a bump. I've predicted a Bournemouth 2, Manchester United 1 at the Vitality in the early kickoff. Laurie has also gone with Bournemouth 2, Manchester United 1. And for Mr. Hawkins, he has gone the other way around. He has gone Bournemouth 1, Manchester United 2. Then on to a number of 3 o'clock kickoffs last weekend. I think there were only three, but this time around there are six. It starts, as we mentioned, at the Emirates. Arsenal take on Wolves, both sides involved in Carabao Cup action in the week. Charlie, no surprise, as an Arsenal fan, has gone Arsenal 2, Wolves 1. Laurie has gone for Arsenal 2, Wolves 2, and I've gone for the same results, not the same scoreline. Arsenal 1, Wolves 1. Wolves had a pretty solid record against the Big Six last season, and these types of games suit Wolves down to the ground, actually, where you'd imagine Arsenal have a lot of possession, and therefore Wolves can sit back and then counter-attack, and I think it's a dangerous game that I think Wolves might take the lead, but Arsenal will take something, but not all 3 points. Then to Villa Park, Aston Villa against Liverpool. As I mentioned, Arsenal, Wolves and Aston Villa, Liverpool just effectively swapping opponents from the League Cup in the week. I believe, I imagine that if Charlie and Laurie are listening, they'll probably say, "Oh, typical Liverpool fan, you're going to predict a Liverpool win," but we are top of the table by 6 points. I'm going to go for Aston Villa 0, Liverpool 2. Laurie has gone for Aston Villa 1, Liverpool 3. And no surprise, Charlie's not gone with a Liverpool win. He's gone for Aston Villa 1, Liverpool 1. Then on to Brighton v Norwich, which is down at the Amex on 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Important for Brighton to get 3 points at home. It's too early in the season to perhaps suggest it's a six-pointer, but it is vitally important for Graham Potter's side, who's actually been nominated for Manager of the Month for October. Important for him to get all 3 points for Norwich. They're in a precarious position at this moment in time. Manchester City, that since that win against Manchester City, which was an incredible night at Carrow Road for all those Norwich fans, it's gone a little bit downhill since then. So they need a result. Charlie has gone for Brighton 2, Norwich 1. So he feels that Graham Potter's side will get all 3 points. Laurie's gone for an emphatic win for the home side. He's gone Brighton 4, Norwich 0. I've gone for a home win as well. Brighton 3, Norwich 1. Then to the Etihad, where Manchester City host Southampton for the second time in a matter of days. City won 3-1 on Tuesday night in the Carabao Cup against Southampton, but had plenty more opportunities to make it a bigger lead than that. Both myself and Laurie believe it is going to be a pretty comprehensive victory for the home side. I think it's a matter of how many City score rather than if they score them. I've gone for Manchester City 6, Southampton 1. Laurie has gone Man City 6, Southampton 0. Mr. Hawkins has gone City 4, Saints 0. Sheffield United against Burnley. Sheffield United have been the most impressive promoted side actually this season, not necessarily full of well-known names. They spent quite a lot of money in terms of forward players, but a lot of unknown players coming into the Premier League. They've made an impressive start. Mr. Hawkins, though, believes it's going to be an away win. Sheffield United 1, Burnley 2. Laurie has gone with Sheffield United 1, Burnley 0, and that is exactly the scoreline that I have gone with. I think it's one of those games that won't be particularly enthralling, captivating on the eye, but I believe it will be something that Sheffield United will get all 3 points from. West Ham take on Newcastle at the London Stadium. That's the final of the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Laurie, no surprise there. He's gone with a Newcastle win. A Newcastle lad, he is. West Ham 0, Newcastle 2. I've gone the other way around. I believe West Ham are going to get the win here. I don't see Newcastle being able to score 2 goals, if I'm being brutally honest. West Ham 2, Newcastle 1 is what I've gone for. As has Mr. Hawkins. He's gone West Ham 2, Newcastle 1. The final game on Saturday afternoon is at Vicarage Road. A massive, massive game for Kike Sanchez Flores' side without a win in the league this season. And they play Chelsea. Charlie Hawkins has gone with a draw. He says it's going to be Watford 2, Chelsea 2. Laurie has gone Watford 0, Chelsea 3. I think it is going to be an away victory for Frank Lampard's side. Watford 1, Chelsea 3, and Flores' look for a first win of the season will go on. Then on to the Sunday games. We have two of them, one at Selhurst Park, the other at Goodison Park. Crystal Palace take on Leicester. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Laurie has gone with Crystal Palace 1, Leicester 1, a point for each side. Both sides have made a good start to the new season. I've gone Crystal Palace 1, Leicester 0. Palace have a good record. We spoke to James Sharp yesterday, and he was talking about how Leicester, Crystal Palace are Leicester's bogey side. So potentially tricky tie for Leicester. Charlie has gone with Palace 2, Leicester 3. A pretty enthralling encounter there. Then the final game of the weekend at 4:30 at Goodison Park. Everton take on Tottenham. Charlie has gone Everton 2, Spurs 3. Another enthralling encounter. We're set to get 10 goals on Sunday, according to Mr. Hawkins. Laurie has gone with Everton 3, Tottenham 3. Pretty interesting that. And I've gone with Everton 3, Tottenham 2. So perhaps going on the lines of plenty of goals in there. And then our random fixture of the weekend is going to be... actually, it's quite a well-known one. Torino up against Juventus. A nice little local derby between the two sides. I'm going to go for a Juventus win. I'm going to go Juventus 3, Torino 1. So we'll get Lauren and Charlie to get in contact with us to share their views on those games. So those are all of the Premier League fixtures from the weekend. One other story I wanted to talk about as we go into the weekend is that Trent Alexander-Arnold is set to make his 100th appearance for Liverpool tomorrow. Obviously, Liverpool travel to Villa Park to take on Aston Villa. And it's been an incredible few years. He's the youngest player ever to play in consecutive Champions League finals. He's an exceptional young player. From the moment I first saw him play for Liverpool's first team, he's been a phenomenal player. He's got so much talent at such a young age. It's so incredible what level he is already at. I think he might end up playing in Liverpool's midfield. Steven Gerrard talked about in his autobiography a few years ago how he saw Trent as a midfielder of the future. He is a phenomenal talent, one of the best players in world football at his age, and is just going from strength to strength. And to think he's already 21 and set to make his 100th appearance, he will go on to captain Liverpool at one point, and we're very, very lucky to have him at Liverpool. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this. Love Sport. This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Crystal Palace now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by James Howard from Back of the Nest. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, James. Last time out for Palace, it was a 2-2 draw away at Arsenal. Obviously, it was shrouded in quite a lot of controversy with some refereeing decisions at the centre of it, but Palace came from 2-0 down to draw 2-2. That must kind of show quite a bit of character and resilience about this Palace team.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think if it wasn't for the fact that we didn't have our first team keeper playing, it could well have been a good away win for Crystal Palace. as you know, we went down very early to two set pieces from a corner, and one was definitely the keeper's, was contributed to that goal, and the other one was a defensive mishap as well. But overall, you've got to say what a comeback from us, you know, and the fight was there, the determination was there, and you know, it was possible, bar the rugby tackle at the end, that we may even have won the game.
How concerned, though, would Roy Hodgson have been, not just with conceding two early goals, but the manner of it in terms of conceding at set pieces? Because I'm sure Roy Hodgson prides himself on his organisation from set pieces. So I think that, I assume, would be something that would have kind of really griped the Palace fans.
Yeah, of course it would. But on reflection, you have to realise that we didn't have our regular keeper, Gaita, the Spanish keeper, and he's been absolutely fantastic. You know, we've kept some really good sort of clean sheets, especially against set plays. So on the face of it, there is a concern because we haven't really got cover in that position. But, you know, all barring the keeper, I think, you know, overall, he's got to be very happy with the performance. I think the fans most definitely are happy with the team and the performance at the moment.
Looking at one of the decisions that was overturned, actually, that Wilfried Zaha originally was booked for diving by Mark Sackerson, and then was overturned to be given a penalty to Palace. It seems like with Zaha that he's gained this reputation for potentially going down rather easily, and that has counted against him. How frustrated are you with kind of, I know we've got VAR now, but with this reputation, this image of Zaha that's growing, that because he sometimes does go down easily, he's not being given penalties, whereas you look at other players like Daniel James isn't being criticised for, in my opinion, going down incredibly softly.
It's interesting you should say that, because this is a bit of a sour point with a lot of Crystal Palace fans here. We've always counter-argued that comment and said, look, provide us with the evidence as to when Zaha has gone down illegally or dived. And no one has ever come up with that evidence. He's never been booked before for diving, especially in the penalty area. And quite frankly, I was really pleased that this happened, because it just highlights the fact that he is so good technically and very tricky, that often people, especially in the crowd, don't appreciate that actually he is being fouled. And quite clearly, he got fouled in front of the referee and he still didn't see it. In effect, it was a strange one, but the right outcome was a goal. Was a penalty which led to a goal. So overall, I'm absolutely pleased as this has come out, and that the Zaha has been proven to not be diving on this occasion. And I think he shouldn't be have the reputation of being a diver throughout his career either.
Palace then are currently sixth in the Premier League table. They're on 15 points after 10 games. I'm not going to lie, I was very surprised to see that that's how high up the table Palace are. Does that just highlight how good a job Roy Hodgson's doing? Because I look at the Palace squad and I don't think it's necessarily a particularly good one, but it just shows he's getting the most out of what he's got, and perhaps overachieving with what he's got at the moment.
Yeah, arguably we could say we are punching above our weight. You know, in the summer, we're all a bit pessimistic, but there's three key things that have happened since the start of the season. You know, one of them is Jordan Ayew has found form and is scoring goals, which is fantastic. He's looking a completely different player. The other key thing is that Wilfried Zaha hasn't gone into the season sulking. He's took a couple of games to get into it, but he's now back up to where he should be with his form. We need a few more goals from him, but, you know, he won the penalty at the weekend, which is great. And Gary Cahill, you know, he's the third point. I think he's been a fantastic free signing for us, and he's been immense in defence and shown some real true qualities and excellent experience at the back.
You mentioned Jordan Ayew's name there. There's been a lot made of Palace's attacking options and the lack of goals from their strikers. I see this morning in some of the papers that Palace have been linked with a loan move for Rhian Brewster from Liverpool. Obviously, as a Liverpool fan myself, I know how good a young player he is. Do you think that's something in January Palace do need to look at, is bringing in one or two centre-forwards, one or two goal scorers to really bolster their options in the January transfer window?
Yeah, I think Roy Hodgson's clearly said that we are short of a striker, and we went into the season short of a striker. That was widely known, and it was difficult for one reason or another getting someone in. And I think it's obviously going to cost us a lot of money. So maybe the loan player is the way to go. We've got two, you know, we've got Connor Wickham, who's constantly in and out of the team, injured. We've also, you know, got Benteke that unfortunately just doesn't seem to do it for us. I mean, he had a contract extended recently, which was I'm not so sure that was the right thing to do. But he got his contract extended and we have to stick with him. So we're limited in cover and if Jordan and I, if something happened to him. So basically, I think we should be looking for a replaceable additional strikers in the team come January.
Up next then for Crystal Palace on Sunday, it's a home game against Leicester. It's the start of a tough run that also included actually last weekend's game against Arsenal, Leicester on Sunday, then a game away at Chelsea and then at home against Liverpool. This is a big test for Palace over these games. How do you see your side getting on in these tough games against obviously some of the big sides in the Premier League?
Yeah, we had this conversation. I had it with someone week before, but prior to Arsenal. And yeah, we'll just bring it on and look what we got. We got a point at Arsenal. Leicester is an interesting one because they're going really well. But good luck to them. I like Leicester as a club. But, you know, we've done a double over them the last two seasons. And in fact, one of them two seasons ago, we won 5-0 at home. So we're in pretty strong position. And I think Leicester will count us possibly as a bogey team. So that's going to be an interesting one in front of the cameras on Sunday. I think a key thing here is that we hopefully have our first team goalkeeper back. Because I know up front, Leicester are not particularly great at corners and set pieces. I think they've got the height that some clubs have. So I'm feeling a bit positive about it, even though Leicester are having a very good season.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, James. That was James Howard from Back of the Nest talking all things Crystal Palace. They obviously came from 2-0 down to draw 2 all the way at Arsenal in potentially controversial circumstances last weekend, but a draw nonetheless. They play Leicester on Sunday, then away at Chelsea, then at home against Liverpool. So a tough run for Roy Hodgson's side, but they do sit sixth. It's been a very, very good start to the season for Palace. A lot better than I expected. I looked at their summer transfer business and thought they are really, really going to struggle. That's one of the two Sunday games. The other game on Sunday is at Goodison Park. Everton take on Tottenham. A big game for both sides. Everton, Marco Silva, still under significant pressure with his job still on the line. And also Tottenham in chaos at the moment. They need 3 points badly as well. A reminder of the Saturday games. Bournemouth take on Manchester United. That's the early kickoff tomorrow down on the south coast at the Vitality. Then on to the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Arsenal take on Wolves. Both sides knocked out of the Carabao Cup in midweek. Aston Villa take on Liverpool. And we've had, obviously, we've been seeing that a lot of the managers this afternoon have been having their press conferences ahead of, obviously, the weekend's action. Jurgen Klopp had his press conference earlier on this afternoon, and he was talking about how there is still this uncertainty as to when the Carabao Cup quarterfinal away at Liverpool's opponents this weekend, Aston Villa, will be played, as it isn't going to be played when it should be in the middle of December. He's confirmed that John Matip is still out for a number of weeks. Naby Keita, it's uncertain as to whether he'll play. Obviously, also asked about Trent Alexander-Arnold, who has just been phenomenal ever since he broke into the Liverpool side. As I said, it's his 100th, set to be his 100th appearance for Liverpool tomorrow at just the age of 21. It makes me feel rather old that he's a couple of years younger than I am, but he's a phenomenal talent. I mean, you look at the stats, the creativity that both Trent on the right back and also Andy Robertson at left back provide for this team. Some people criticise the Liverpool midfield for not having enough creativity. You don't need that from a Jurgen Klopp midfield when you've got those fullbacks that are just so good. The quality, the precision of it. Jamie Carragher said it is like, or in terms of his delivery, the quality of the crosses is like Kevin De Bruyne is in the side, in terms of a similar type of creative playmaker. And as I think that's one of the main reasons why I see Trent moving into midfield in the next 3 or 4 years, like Steven Gerrard had said when Trent was about 16, it's because of the technical ability. It's phenomenal. He is an absolute wonder of a right boot. It is ridiculous, some of the balls he plays. So a big moment for Trent. I'm sure he will become a Liverpool captain at some point in the future. And at just the age of 21, to be making his 100th appearance for the club, his boyhood club, and having played already in consecutive Champions League finals, he has achieved so much already and is just such a phenomenal talent. And you think he is one of so many in this England squad at the moment that are just, I mean, you think of the young players at England's disposal that are either in the England team at the moment or just out of it. You're thinking Trent Alexander-Arnold, Ben Chilwell, Joe Gomez at the back. Then you think James Maddison, Phil Foden, and then going forward, Raheem Sterling, Jadon Sancho. I mean, the list goes on. Callum Hudson-Odoi, Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Mason Mount. It's really phenomenal how many young, I mean, brilliant players. We're not just talking about okay players. We are talking about exceptional young talents that are going to dominate, hopefully, for many years to come in an England shirt. We're going to be talking about Arsenal in a few moments' time. Big news from Unai Emery's press conference. Granit Xhaka will not be considered for their game tomorrow against Wolves. So Granit Xhaka not going to be in the Arsenal squad. Brighton are at home to Norwich. Manchester City play Southampton again, having only just played them a few days ago in the Carabao Cup. Sheffield United continue, or hope to continue, their good start to the season. They host Burnley at Bramall Lane. West Ham take on Newcastle. Steve Bruce, the Newcastle manager, has said that he is hoping or open potentially to making some signings in the January transfer window. A huge game at Vicarage Road for Kike Sanchez-Flores' side. Watford take on Chelsea at 5:30. Watford still looking for their first league win of the season. Crystal Palace take on Leicester, as we mentioned, on Sunday afternoon. And then to round off the Premier League weekend, we finish on Merseyside at Goodison Park with Everton taking on Tottenham. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, with every Premier League weekend, so much to talk about before it, and I'm sure on Monday there'll be so much to review. And one of the most intriguing storylines will be at the Emirates tomorrow afternoon. Arsenal take on Wolves. As I mentioned, Granit Xhaka will not be in the Arsenal squad for tomorrow's game. Unai Emery has confirmed that just in the last few moments at his press conference, and we'll be talking all things Arsenal after this.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Just a few other bits and bobs coming through from the press conferences this afternoon from all the Premier League managers. Ahead of Tottenham's game, some early team news for them. Jan Vertonghen will be assessed before the game with a hamstring injury, but Eric Lamella is undergoing treatment for a hamstring injury. He is unavailable. Hugo Lloris obviously remains out with that dislocated elbow, and Danny Rose is suspended, so will serve a one-match ban. And as we'll be talking about in just a few moments' time, Granit Xhaka will not be involved for Arsenal tomorrow against Wolves. And I'm delighted to say that to get his views on Granit Xhaka not being involved in tomorrow's game, I'm delighted to say we're joined by James Ollie, Evening Standard's chief football correspondent, who's been at Unai Emery's press conference this afternoon. Thank you very much for sparing us 5 or 10 minutes of your time this afternoon, James. That big news then, Granit Xhaka not involved in the matchday squad for tomorrow's game against Wolves. What's your instant reaction to that, James?
Well, I think it's the pragmatic response to what is a very difficult situation. You've got to remember that Arsenal are particularly fragile at the moment, especially at home. The relationship with the fans, okay, that sort of manifested itself in what happened with Granit Xhaka, but there was a wider frustration in that game with the fact that they were 2-0 up, had been pulled back to 2-2, and they were seeing their team once again be too easy to play against. And I think because of the fine margins at the moment, and obviously they played okay in midweek at Anfield but still lost the game, I think that on balance, Unai Emery's decided that it's better to not have the sort of Xhaka sideshow as part of tomorrow's game. Take him out of the equation, play without him, hope the team gets behind him in his absence, get a win and then try and reintegrate him from there.
It may not be the Xhaka sideshow, but obviously Mesut Ozil, I'm sure, will be a massive talking point. Did Unai Emery give anything away as to whether he will be involved tomorrow and how much after playing, obviously, in the Carabao Cup in midweek?
Well, you can never read too much definitively into what he says at these press conferences, because he's talked Mesut up a few times before and then left him out of the matchday squad completely for the subsequent game the next day. So I would say he was talking about him more positively than he has done. And I think his performance in midweek at Liverpool, although it was against obviously a much changed Liverpool side, bodes really well. You know, he applied himself well. He showed touches of the quality that we all know he has. And I think the nature of the game tomorrow, it kind of lends itself to Mesut being well, ideally in the team, but certainly on the bench at the very least, because you expect that Wolves are going to sit deep and try and hit on the break. And clearly, space in tight areas is going to be at a premium, and that's something that he's very good at finding and exploiting. So I would say from the way you talked, it sounds like he's going to be involved, but as I say, you can never second guess Unai Emery.
What's your general view, James, on the Mesut Ozil situation? Because obviously he's on significant wages, to say the least. He's on a lot of money, and there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing as to whether he does have a future at Arsenal, whether he doesn't. Arsenal fans are, from the sounds of it, very divided on whether Ozil has a long-term future or not at the club. In your view, at this moment in time, should Ozil be a part of the starting 11 for the Premier League, or do his performances, well, I suppose he hasn't really played a huge amount in recent times, does he deserve a place in Arsenal's starting 11 in the Premier League?
Well, what Emery's done here is essentially say that we are a better team without Mesut Ozil in any capacity, because it's one thing to leave him on the bench and give him 20 minutes at the end of a game, maybe either when they're, you know, they're winning and it doesn't matter, or if they're even chasing a goal. But, you know, he hasn't been in match day squads, any of the six match day squads between the two Carabao Cup ties. So he's not only saying to Mesut, not only are you not in my preferred starting lineup, but also we don't think you can change games. And I think that is a judgment that when you watch Arsenal play on a regular basis, it feels a little bit misguided, because while you can argue that he doesn't press the ball in the way that you know, Emery sometimes likes his teams to play, and there have been sort of various stories about how he's not always necessarily applied himself in training, as somebody of Mesut Ozil's quality, even at the very least to throw on for 20 minutes at the end of a game, surely that, you know, that would be of benefit to any manager. I think the problem here is that Arsenal have not looked conclusively better without him. If they were playing better, forget the results for 1 minute, if they were playing better, if they looked more dynamic, more fluid in attack, then you could argue that there's a picture being painted there of a future without Mesut Ozil. But at the moment, it just looks like he's ostracising him almost for the sake of it, to sort of try and hammer home this point and this judgment call that he's made. And you'd have to say, on balance of performances, it isn't the right one at the moment. He should be, I'm not saying he should be starting every week, but he should be in the mix on a more regular basis.
Arsenal continue, James, to have defensive issues, conceding goals left, right and centre. Who for you should Unai Emery be starting in that back four? Obviously, Kieran Tierney was signed over the summer at left back, who's worked his way back to fitness after a hernia operation over the summer. David Luiz came in over the summer. Hector Bellerin is back from injury. Rob Holding's back from injury. Is that kind of, I suppose I've fallen into that, is that the best back four in your view for Arsenal at the moment?
I'd say Bellerin, Sokratis, Holding and Tierney is worth a go. You know, Rob Holding was a huge part of Unai Emery's first season until he got injured. He played virtually every game of that unbeaten run before he got injured against Manchester United. So he's clearly rated very highly by the manager. I think he should and probably will form a part of a consistent centre-back pairing. I think Sokratis has been good. More reliable presence than certainly, obviously, Mustafi. And although they signed David Luiz, and I understand why David Luiz brings what he brings, and there's a clamour for him to be in the team every week, I'm not always certain with him that he necessarily will give you. I mean, primarily he's not a, you know, he's not a Van Dijk or a Maguire type centre back. I know those players of that quality are very rare to find, but they need someone there to give them a bit of resilience, a bit of stability, and I think Sokratis and Holding offer that more than someone like David Luiz's strengths are in playing out from the back and giving them another sort of attacking threat. So I'd say that back four needs a run, because there's been a lot of chopping and changing of positions. He's taken a long time to bring Bellerin and Tierney back into the fray. And I think now that they're all fit, it's a time for that four to get a run and to see how good they can be.
Up top then for Arsenal tomorrow, James, would you expect Alexandre Lacazette to partner Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang? And will Arsenal fans see Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang together as a three? Or potentially would someone like Bukayo Saka come into contention for tomorrow's game?
Well, I think, given that Lacazette didn't play in midweek, obviously Aubameyang was behind him, and Aubameyang's a nailed-on starter, although he's just hit a little bit of a dip in his form, but nothing to worry about there. I would think it would be Lacazette, Aubameyang and Pepe. Those three started the last game. They are the best
forward combination. I would say Martinelli is starting to knock on the door. You can't really argue with what he's been doing in the Carabao Cup. I certainly think he'll be on the bench at the very least. But, you know, we know that Arsenal have these attacking options, but too often it's looked a little bit like, let's pick 10 players and then hope Aubameyang does something up front. And then what they need to find is a settled front three or four, depending on how they set up, that actually creates some fluidity and some consistent chances, because it has been a little bit haphazard of late. And that's really the goal moving forward.
And just finally then, James, a prediction for tomorrow. It looks like a tough game for Arsenal at home against Wolves tomorrow.
Yeah, it does. I think Wolves are exactly the type of team that Arsenal won't want to fight at the moment. You know, we all know the counter-attack threat they've got. They had a great record against the top six last season. Okay, they've struggled a little bit this year. So I can see them getting a point, I think. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, James. That was James Ollie, the Evening Standard's chief football correspondent. Obviously, was at Unai Emery's press conference in the last hour. He's had it inside the last half an hour, 40 minutes, confirming that Granit Xhaka will not be part of Arsenal's matchday squad tomorrow against Wolves. Obviously, going to be a tough game for Arsenal. It suits Wolves, actually, this style of game where Wolves will be able to play on the counter-attack. So it should be a really intriguing game at the Emirates. How will Arsenal react to the last couple of games? They've had that enthralling penalty shootout defeats to Liverpool in the Carabao Cup, and also that ridiculous game, and then a pretty ridiculous game at the Emirates last Sunday where they went from 2-0 up to 2-2 against Palace. So plenty of storylines to come out of the Emirates tomorrow afternoon.
Love Sport.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.